Good to see you, folks. Glad you're here today. This, as was said, second day of spring. What a joyous time of the year as things begin to melt and things warm up a little bit. And guys, I don't know. I'm hearing a very bad ringing. So can you turn these monitors down? It is what it is. Okay. All right. Are you hearing ringing out there? You can. Okay. All right. Anyway, let's just kind of forget about it. Let me see if I get a little bit farther away. There we go. A little better? Good. Okay. Sorry about that. It's warming up. It's getting sunny. It's getting muddy. But that means things will be budding soon, and hopefully the sugar's running good, and we'll have a good season for that wonderful stuff that comes out of the trees we call maple syrup. But glad you're here. It's a wonderful time of the year as we think of spring. And of course, Resurrection Sunday, the time when we look back and remember the death of our Savior for our sins and his glorious resurrection. Because friends, there is no hope in a dead Savior, but we have a risen Savior. So I've been out of the pulpit a couple of weeks. I was away for a funeral, and last week was our Bible conference. But we're back in the book of Romans, and today we're going to be looking at verses 21 to 23. So follow as I read, please. Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Father, help us today as we look into your word, as we contemplate, Lord, this first chapter of the book of Romans. And Father, it is so obvious that this is the very world and culture in which we are living. So help us to know what we ought to do and how we ought to witness. And help us, Lord, now, Father, to listen. Help us now to, Lord, find application to our lives, so that we could not only be hearers, but doers of your word. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So far, friends, in our study of the book of Romans, we have seen how God has revealed his power through the gospel. And this power is able to take, as we've already seen, this power is able to take hell-bound sinners and change them into a justified, righteous child of God. It's power. We have seen that this powerful gospel is available to us through faith, and that once we are justified, we continue to live by faith. We also saw how that God not only revealed his power through the gospel, but he also has revealed his wrath from heaven within each person. Creation without conscience within revealed to us that there is a God, so that all men are without excuse. But the ungodly and the unrighteous continue to suppress that truth, to hold that truth down. Many people say that America is on the verge of God's judgment and wrath. But I agree with a message that I heard this past week from John MacArthur, that America is not awaiting the wrath of God. America is living the wrath of God. And that's sad. But this is the world in which we live. Today we will return to the courtroom as the prosecutor, the Apostle Paul, will continue to make his case against unsaved man, proving their guilt. And we will see, because of man's suppression of the truth, it ultimately leads them to idolatry. You know, the world will worship something or someone. But God desires for us, His creation, to worship Him, to praise Him. I'm very thankful this morning for all the songs that pointed us to how worthy our God is and how we should praise our God. And friends, not just from 10 o'clock until 11, whatever it is on Sunday, but every day, our God is worthy of our praise and worship. This is the time we corporately gather, but He's worthy of our praise. So notice with me, please, the first part of verse 21. And notice with me this continued revelation of God. God revealing Himself. Notice what it says in verse 21, that because that when they knew God. Notice that, you know, if we go back and we see some of these things that we've been learning, Paul says, because that they knew God. They had a knowledge of the being and the perfections of God. Unsaved man can get to a point, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but unsaved man can get to a point where God turns them over. But everyone starts life with a knowledge of the being and perfection of God. You have to be taught to be an atheist. No one comes to that conclusion on their own. They are aware of God. Let's review. Look at verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. From the invisible things of Him, from the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are what? Without excuse. Look at the first part of verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. And we'll get to that verse next week. But they did not like to retain. They did not want to hold God in their knowledge. You go off to a secular school, college, and you have a professor there that is an avowed atheist. And he is seeking to destroy your faith. He got to the point he is because he did not like to hold on to that knowledge of God that God gave every person. And he willfully chose to suppress all that truth. Revelation. Because that when they knew God. This verse, friend, proves without a doubt that all human beings know or knew that there is or is a God to whom they are accountable. God has revealed it all around them and within them. But remember what we learned a couple of weeks ago. Man suppresses that truth. God has, if you will, taken the lid off. He's revealed it. But man keeps closing the lid and piling things on top of that lid so that that lid can never be lifted and we could never see God's revelation. And next week we'll see that there are people who even take pleasure in keeping the lid down. Revelation. Rejection. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. What did we sing songs about this morning? The glory and honor and praise of God. God deserves glory. God deserves honor. God deserves our praise. Friends, the chief end of man is to glorify God. That is why we exist. Do you glorify God with your life every day? Do you glorify God with your life every day? Every moment of every day. Not just on Sunday, but when you go to work. When you're riding down the road in the car. When you're with your family. It is our duty, our honor, our privilege to glorify God. The chief end of man is to glorify God. Look at Romans 11, please. Romans 11, verse 36. For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. I love that song that we sang. All creatures of our God and King, is that, you know, when it talks about how even nature is a song to God. And how, you know, if you were to go out into the woods and walk by a brook and hear that babbling brook sound, that is a song of praise to that brook's creator. And if the water, if the rocks, if the birds, this morning we heard the birds chirping, another good sign that spring is coming. Bears eating your bird feeder is also a good sign of spring is coming. But you know, that's all a chorus of praise to God. What is our life like? When we consider this. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. They did not render Him the adoration due Him. Unsaved man seeks their own glory. And dare I say, sometimes we seek our own glory. Neither, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. They did not render the gratitude which His benevolence demands. Friends, do you realize how good God is? Do you realize how good God is? Even to this wicked world. He causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. And we go to grocery stores and department stores, and we have shelves that are filled. They're building more car dealerships and Tilton, you know, and all of these things. God has been so good and benevolent to us. But rather than the world being thankful to God, they've turned their back on Him. They've thumbed their nose at Him. They glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. Look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, please. Paul says in verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days," if Paul thought he was living in the last days, what are we living in? "In the last days, perilous times shall come." That word perilous means difficult or dangerous. It comes from the root word meaning to reduce our strength. Know also that in the last days perilous time shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. That's obvious. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. What's the next word? Unthankful. You know, all of these things are signs that we're living in the last days. People love themselves. People are covetous. They just want more. They're boasters. We hear about how good they are, their programs are, whatever. They're proud. They're blasphemers. They blaspheme against God. They're disobedient to parents. They're not thankful. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful under the rejection, but became vain in their imaginations. Vain. Back in Romans 1. Vain means to render foolish, to be wicked, to be idolatrous. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Imaginations here, their discussion, their consideration, their debates, their reasoning, their thoughts. Have you ever tried to have a serious debate with someone who is a professed atheist? It's a foolish, wicked, idolatrous discussion. And some of the things people will believe. Remember, friends, what did we start out saying? The battle today is for truth. The bottom line is, what is truth? This is truth. Everything else is a lie. This tells us who God is and how to get to heaven. Everything else is a lie. There's been debate this week about a guy on CNN. His name is Lemon. He's a black man, and he's telling us that Jesus was a black man. Jesus was a Jewish man, and he's telling us how, you know, Jesus would not have been against, you know, all the things that the world is trying to push today. That should not seem strange to us, because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Vain in their imaginations, the conceptions, the ideas, their reflections, which they formed for themselves regarding God. People have strange ideas who God is. These are wholly devoid of any intrinsic value corresponding with the truth. So much of it has nothing to do with the truth. The vanity of their minds was the spring and source of their evil conduct, which they designed in the wickedness of their hearts and their imaginations. And their hearts and imaginations are evil, and that continually. pride of their nature, the carnality and weakness of their reasonings, and the whole system of their vain philosophy. And their foolish heart was darkened. Foolish here means unintelligent, without understanding, wicked. And darkened means to obscure. Friends, when man rejects the truth, the darkness of spiritual falsehood replaces it. Let me say that again. When man rejects the truth, the darkness of spiritual falsehood replaces it. And the more they reject, when God finally turns them over, the deeper and deeper and deeper into darkness they go. And all of us know people like this. And we think to ourselves, how could this be? Here's the answer. They've rejected God. They didn't give God the glory He deserves. They did not thank Him. Therefore, their reasoning became foolish. Darkness settled down upon their wicked hearts. And their hearts are dark. Sometimes when we're sitting across the table from somebody and we're sharing the truth to them, sometimes we get a revelation of just how dark their hearts are and how far they are from God. And that is because they have rejected Him and they did not give Him the glory that was due His name, and they are guilty and they were unthankful. And then this leads, verse 22, to a rationalization. And what do we mean by that? The action or attempting to explain or justify behavior or an attitude with logical reasons, even if these aren't appropriate, they then will begin to rationalize their sin. And today, friends, there are preachers. And I don't want like calling them that. But there are preachers who rationalize abortion. There are preachers who rationalize sin and immorality. Friends, we can expect that from the unsaved world. But there are times we believers try to rationalize our sin. We're told today that abortion is women's health care, that homosexuality is an alternative lifestyle, that God makes mistakes when it comes to genders. There really isn't only two genders, there's multiple genders. This is our world today, friends. Rationalizing their sin. And sometimes I have people come to my office and I counsel them and I sit down and I explain to them the Bible, and this is what follows up. Yes, but. Or, Pastor, you don't know my situation. And we fall prey to this. We don't give God the glory due His name. We're not thankful to Him, and we begin to rationalize our sin. Professing themselves to be wise. Professing here means to assert or to affirm or to make known one's thoughts. After all, you have to listen to me because I'm an expert. You know people that are experts? They think they're experts. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. The Greek word here for fools is the Greek word moreno. It's where we get our word moron. It means simple. And what we have here, friends, in the scripture is literally an oxymoron. It's a figure of speech which is apparently contradictory terms in the conjunction. And how foolish it is to plunge yourself into darkness and then to think you are wise. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. What does Psalm tell us in two different places about the person who says there is no God? He's a fool. But they think they're wise. We've gotten to the point where people think that rather than God creating us, we have created the concept of God. And that is taught in school. That God is a concept of man's imagination. Because after all, man has this concept of God. Oh, where did that come from? So if we have this concept of God, we've invented him. Rather than if we have this concept of God, he must be real. Man rationalizes his sin and proves his utter foolishness by devising and believing their own philosophies about God, the universe, and themselves. We have people who for the last 30, 40 years have been telling us we've only got 4 to 5 to 6 years left. And the earth is going to destroy itself because of global warming. Now, I am all for being a good steward of what God has given us, right? And we should take care of what God has given us. But the truth tells us that it's not going to end that way. But we have these self-professing wise people who are literally fools telling us otherwise. Now, I would never debate anybody in math, okay? I come to math with a penknife. Other people come to math with a cannon. I'm going to lose that. But you know, don't be afraid to debate people when it comes to the truth. You know the truth. They don't know the truth. And they're fools. I don't know. It's been a few years now, but Ken Ham had a debate with Bill Nye, the science guy. And my favorite line that Ken Ham used throughout that debate, Bill, there is a book, you know, and he kept telling them what God said. Don't be afraid to share the truth with people. Revelation, because that when they knew God. Rejection, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Rationalization, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And finally, religion, verse 23, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God. Changed here means to exchange one thing for another. It means to make different. They did not change or make God over. They changed or made their view of him over. Have you ever heard of some people's description and explanation of who they believe God is? and how God is more like Santa Claus, who jokingly laughs at his children and is so incompetent to do anything, and that puts up with people's sin. That's not God. Surely not the glorious God of my Bible. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God. Uncorruptible means immortal, undecaying. God is immortal. We sing a song, immortal, invisible, God only wise. In light, inaccessible, hid from our eyes. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. They made substitutes for God. Self is a substitute for God. The worship of man is a substitute for God. Government is a substitute for God. And don't think that government's not trying. They're showering us with money now. They're telling us how to live. They're telling us what we can and can't do and what we should and shouldn't do. Worship of nature is a substitute for God. Global warming science is a substitute for God. Icons, idols, sports, things, all of these substitutes for God. And when man rejects God, when man does not respond to God's revelation, when man does not give God the glory due his name and the thanks due to him, he begins this downward path of rationalizing his own sin and becoming, rather than being wise, he becomes a fool, and he changes the glory of God and accepts, rather than the immortal God, he accepts and worships images, substitutes for God, full-blown idolatry, which is a violation of the first and second commandments of Exodus chapter 20, verses 3 to 5. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And thou shalt not bow thyself to them and serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers unto the children, unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And we have Christian fathers that on Sunday morning, rather than bringing their children to worship the one true God, bring them to the idol of sports. Bring them to the idol of whatever it may be. And sacrifice their children on the altar of these false gods. All glory to thee, little league. For after all, my son is going to become a great ball player. Chances of that are slim. The chances of your son standing before a holy and righteous God are 100%. It's not because I want you here on Sunday morning. It's because you need to be here on Sunday morning. Because God is worthy. When God's revelation and His power and His person is suppressed, and man does not glorify or thank Him, then he begins a terrible downward spiral that leads to idolatry or replacing God with something devised in their evil, wicked heart and mind. That's exactly what our verses tell us. The Apostle Paul has just given two reasons why the person without God is lost and deserving of God's condemnation: because of the revelation of God in nature and because of the revelation of God in their conscience. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all who suppress the truth of these two witnesses. And whoever is guilty of suppressing these two truths about God does not receive more light that will lead to their salvation. We find in the scriptures people like Cornelius, who kept responding to light rather than suppressing light. And he kept responding to it. And one day God revealed to him, go get Peter. And Peter, who's responding to the light that God has given to him, has a vision. And the next thing you know, there's Gentiles knocking on the door. Peter, please come see Cornelius. Peter comes in, preaches the gospel, and Cornelius responds to the light. It's possible. But man keeps suppressing the truth. Vain thinking, foolish reasoning turned men from the truth to lies. And we see indifference and ingratitude, which results in ignorance and idolatry. And friends, we are also guilty of this. I would ask every one of us, and I would say, are you an idolater? Oh, no, I love God. People today bow before the gods of this age and honor them above the truth of the Word of God. Therefore, they worship the created more than the Creator. Look at verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Turn with me in closing to 1 Chronicles. What do we do? What do we do? How do we live in this world? How can we reach our world? Pastor, our world is so far gone. It is. Our world is living under the judgment and condemnation of God right now. Man hangs but by a thread of experiencing the full wrath of God. Here's how we live in such a world. David's prayer, 1 Chronicles 16, starting in verse 24. Declare His glory among the heathen, His marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Friends, go out there and brag on God. And let people know what an awesome God He is. Notice it says, declare his glory among the heathen. Verse 27, glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We need to tell people that, friends, God is so glorious. He is your creator, and he demands your life and your worship. That's the life we need to be living. That's the speech we need to be talking. Fear before him, all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let them say among the nation, the Lord reigneth. Let the sea roar, the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice, and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the woods sing out at the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. Oh, give what? Thanks. They didn't recognize him as God. They weren't thankful. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God, of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said what? And praised the Lord. You see, friends, our lives need to be lived in front of people so that our lives give glory and praise to God. And people need to see us thanking God for what he's done in our lives. We need to go out there and make much of God, because the world is suppressing him, is rejecting him, is covering up what he has uncovered. And we need to do our part to reveal the God of heaven to the world. But too often, we're like the world. Unholy, unthankful. Filled with the God of me. You don't know how I feel. Yes, I do. Because I'm just as selfish as you are. But God is glorious. Are you here today without Christ? If you're here without Christ, you will suffer the wrath of God. Are you here with Christ? Are you a living, walking, talking, breathing testimony to God 24/7? Not just for that hour you sneak in and sneak out on Sunday, but every day. Friends, God is worthy. And he will make us give an account one day. Let's pray. Lord,